Lions and see how they're doing, how they're faring. Now, lastly, for those people, athletes, coaches, to learn more about the athletic department, either if they happen to be students or if they're potentially looking at RVCC, what would they do?
Well, you can visit our website. Of course, you can always call our office, but visit our website. You can shoot me an email or any one of our coaches an email directly. But also on the website, we have a tab for a recruit questionnaire. So if you're a local student or parent and you want to find out more, you can fill out the questionnaire for your appropriate sport. And then we will certainly have our coaches get in touch with you and bring you to campus and talk to you about what we can offer.
Yeah, excellent. Well, again, Amanda, I always love having you on because the way I look at it this way is that you can have an organization like RVCC that works on the direct product that they're focused on. They can look at their academics. But you get the real breadth of the strength of an organization by learning what they do away from those particular strategic functions. And when you start to hear about all the cool things that the athletic department's doing to enhance the experience there and make the whole thing a community, that's where the surprise comes. That's where the aha moment comes. And I think that's the reason that when you have those visiting folks coming on by, they give that aha moment and they go, this is a jewel over here in Hunter and in Somerset counties. So it's always a surprise to have you on. It's always great to hear about all the great things that are going on because it's the student total immersion in this program that I think is really the opportunity that students who go to that school are really enjoying. So thanks so much to you for 5 years of sounds like a great program and so many other things that are going on.
Thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back.
All right. We got her. We got her for another year, Donna. Thank you. All right. That is Amanda DiMartino. She is the director of athletics over at RVCC. Go and check it out. Vince Arlino says, never see I should have. If you are a student athlete looking for a place to go, and maybe you fit the niche of academics and a little bit of athletics over there at RVCC, speak to Amanda and learn more about it. It's a weekend coming up. We got some rain coming tonight. Please be prepared for that. Thank you to Michelle, and thank you to Mike and Amanda for making the contribution to the show. I'm going to take a break. We're going to go on to the weekend. You've been listening to Good Morning Hunter and Huntersburg.com. We're off Monday. I'll be back Tuesday. Thanks for listening.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Trump in particular seemed to have his best debate so far.
A political expert says one candidate in particular seemed to win last night's Republican presidential debate. Dr. Sean Foreman from Barry University says Donald Trump has really tapped into the mantle of anger. Foreman says Trump's support is going to continue to grow as the campaign goes on. Republican presidential hopeful Ted Cruz insists he is a natural-born citizen of the U.S. even though he was born in Canada. The Texas senator told a Fox Business News debate last night that his mother is an American citizen, making him a citizen. Cruz chided Donald Trump for even raising the birther issue. It turns out the story about the California nurse who won hundreds of millions of dollars in Wednesday's Powerball was a prank. Media outlets reported that a 62-year-old woman who worked at a nursing home in Pomona was one of three winners of the $1.6 billion jackpot. Relatives of the woman said yesterday that it was all a prank put on by the woman's son. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ah, the beginning of a new year. Start it off right during Rite Aid's 2016 Starting Points. Because every week through January 23rd, you can ring in the values. With 1,000 Plenty Points worth $10 in savings when you spend $30 on participating products with your Wellness Plus with Plenty card. That adds up to big savings every week for the entire month. But only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Worth at least $10. Limit 2 offers per card per week. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Staples can help. We have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water.
I wouldn't.
We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Yeah.
Staples. Make more happen. And right now, buy any HB ink cartridge and get the second half off.
Limit 2 per customer ends 1/16/16. Price match plus a 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Ends 3/26/16. See store or staples.com for details.
The moment last night's debate ended, the spin began. USA Senior Correspondent Jason Wirt has some debate reactions.
Chelsea Henry is one of the youngest members of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network and a commentator on Republicans and the black community. She attended the Republican debate in South Carolina, and her choice for the winner was a bit of a surprise to many.
I think Jeb Bush won. He won in performance, but more importantly, he won in substance. I enjoyed the fact that he was able to come to a great balance between, again, the performance aspect of the debate, but also leaving people with a better understanding of why he stands on certain issues.
Henry said her runner-up was Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Dozens of Kenyan troops in an attack on an African Union base in southwestern Somalia. Al-Shabaab military spokesman Abdiadiz Abu Mudan told the group's online radio that at least...
Is that low?
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more...
Carolina courtroom. USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Albert Taylor is accused of shooting a 17-year-old at a South Carolina bowling alley. Jamari Fair, Dennis Gibbs, and a 15-year-old are also facing murder charges, but none of that seemed to faze them.
What are these cameras for?
It's the news media.
His mother, just the other day, and she just getting in the house and getting his room all straightened out, and then just 3 or 4 days later, this happened.
I'm Tammy Rose.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a 5-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
REACT is not an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had an event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it's 26 degrees. Clear skies, calm winds, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF. It is February 19th, and we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon, a high near 40, wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy and a low of 31 tonight, wind southeast at 5 to 10. And the next 2 days, buckle up, baby. This is sweet weather. Some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. A high will be 58, wind southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunday, cloudy and a high of 55, winds west at 5 to 10. Monday, mainly sunny and a high of 47. Tuesday, partly cloudy early, followed by mostly cloudy skies and a few showers later in the day.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits. It's the law. Sorry I'm a little bit late today. The blame is, of course, 31 coming south near the hospital because they really should have a right turn only into the hospital so everybody else doesn't jam up and try to go around. My biggest pet peeve, I think, with respect to traffic here in Hunterdon County, going north, they've expanded it to 2 lanes. It makes it much easier. But that bottleneck at the hospital, I think, would be much better if they just made a right turn lane at the hospital so everybody doesn't try to go around people that are going straight through or trying to go straight through. But in any event, hope you haven't listened to the weather, because if you did, that's not the weather that we can be expecting. In fact, it was really a shame. This afternoon was a beautiful day. So far, no rain, although there was a chance of rain today. I think it's really chance tonight, and it's starting to cloud up. But everybody who has graduations this weekend and first communions, it's really a shame because we do have a prediction for tomorrow, 100% heavy rain. And then into Sunday, by the way, Saturday night, about a 90% chance of rain. So even for Sunday, if it cleared up, it was going to be really soggy. But it's not going to probably clear up, although the better day is Sunday. There's about another 20% chance of showers. But the prediction does not look good for tomorrow. I was hoping it would hold off so everybody who's celebrating tomorrow could celebrate outside. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And let's hope that the weatherman is wrong. But, you know, this is always the day that they'll be right. So, I'm Pat Smits, the program It's the Law. I'll be back to tell you what's happening in the legal world after a couple spots from our sponsors.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, after that, let's have a better commercial. Don't need to be reminded every week, but I guess that's what happens, that we do get reminded about our weight. In any event, will most of us be eating lots and lots this weekend or next weekend with all the graduations and First Communions and other parties? And, of course, next week we'll have Memorial Day, too. I guess we better listen to this commercial now. But talking about some other commercials, let's spots from our sponsors. Let me bring you a couple others, and then we'll be back with the news.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Well, okay, so what's happening in legal news? And he reminds me, of course, reminds most of us that as attorneys, we need to keep records for 7 years. And I actually keep them longer than that because it's not unusual for clients to call me back, 10 and even 15 years later because something has come up, especially if they had young children when they divorce. And I don't understand why people don't keep their valuable records. I mean, people will call me and they didn't keep the judgment of divorce, they didn't keep the property settlement agreement, they didn't keep their financial information, and they have to hope that 10 years later or more that I have it. And since I'm such a pack rat, I usually do keep things, not just because I'm a pack rat, but because so often these things come up. But in any event, what's happening in legal news? Well, a New Jersey appellate court declined to disturb a $1.1 million judgment against a bankrupt Montclair abortion clinic owner who allegedly fired three employees after they became pregnant. That's rather ironic. The problem is, will they ever be able to collect in light of the fact that the owner filed bankruptcy? So that's always, that's always an issue. Sometimes you hear people getting million-dollar judgments, but the real issue is can they collect it? There's an accusation about a judge in New Jersey, a lawsuit over time spent caring for his disabled son. He claimed he was harassed over the amount of time he spent caring for his handicapped son, and he filed an amended complaint after being excluded from a law day observance. I don't really know more about that. I don't know where the judge is from, but it shows that, anyone can sue, even judges. Now, there's an opinion from last year approving a case where someone was served by Facebook, and it's actually made waves more recently as an attorney in the case brought it to light and this case was approved for publication by the state. So as I've talked to people before, any cases that are decided, if they're approved for publication, it means it's precedent setting. If it's not approved for publication, if it's just one judge's opinion, other judges do not have to follow it. Even appellate cases where there's an opinion by an appellate panel, if it's not published, the trial courts do not have to follow. And, of course, if it is published, the trial courts have to follow other published opinions unless they're trial judge opinions. And this is very significant. Actually, there should be more published opinions, in my humble opinion, because many of the unpublished opinions really are their decisions on pretty critical issues. And I think that sometimes the court, whoever approves publications, they don't think that they're that significant. But most of these issues come up in other cases. So, there's a discussion about direct examination in trials. And, according to this blurb, it's one of the few points of the trial that trial counsel is least able to control. So that's why, rather than embracing direct examination as an opportunity to have the witness discuss her story with the jury, most direct examinations are, forced, death march of testimony, people have said, and, it's really uncomfortable, and, everybody is concerned about the witness saying something that he or she shouldn't say. But it's really important for the trier of fact and a jury, if they're the trier of fact, to hear the story. So as probably many people who have listened to this program have heard, is that the consumer giant Johnson & Johnson has been hit with four jury verdicts totaling about $300 million in cases linking its popular baby powder to ovarian cancer. And then with each defeat, its attorneys have pledged the fight is not over. So this is the baby powder has been found to, there's been a link to ovarian cancer. So interesting, case, and how could anything as benign as baby powder create problems? But that is, these cases, Johnson & Johnson have been losing. Now, there was a criminal law case published. This is from the Supreme Court, and this is the opinion was written by Justice Rabner, and so it's State versus Habib Robinson. And in this case, both the trial court and the appellate division directed the state of New Jersey to disclose the statements of two eyewitnesses, photos used in identification process, any incident report of the crime prepared by the police, and a surveillance video. And this was all done under a court rule, which requires disclosure of the reports and photos, but not the video. Now, in this case, the Supreme Court also clarifies and reframes the rule to help ensure that it strikes the proper balance between two important concerns. And this is very important in our criminal law. And one is, of course, the defendant's liberty interest, and the other is the state's ability to seek to detain high-risk defendants before trial. So that is, for criminal attorneys, and I guess criminals, that opinion will be significant. For most of the rest of the, people, it, doesn't have any significance. There's another family law case in the appellate division, and this is from a case, BC versus the Division of Protection and Permanency, DCPNP, which was the former DYFS, DYFS? Yeah, DYFS. It's funny how quickly we forget the acronyms. But in this case, it was in the context of a grandparent visitation appeal, and the appellate division discussed the interplay between the abuse and neglect docket and the non-dissolution docket. What most people don't understand in New Jersey is that although we have a family part, that is a family court that handles all of the various types of cases, there are in fact different types of cases. And an FN case, so if you see a docket number that starts FN, that is a case that's brought under either abuse or neglect. And there may be exceptions, but I've always seen that DCP&P are involved in those cases. Now, the FD docket is a non-dissolution docket. And cases where, for example, people have children together but are not married, those cases are brought under the FD case. However, I've seen more recently someone who's married will bring a support action under an FD because they're not seeking a divorce. If it's a divorce case, either pending or a divorce case that it's post-judgment, but post-divorce judgment, those cases are brought under the FM docket. And in small counties like ours, in Hunterdon, one judge will handle all of the various dockets. One day, Judge Wilson will be doing divorce cases. The next, he might be doing dissolution, the non-dissolution calendar. And on a third day, he would be doing the domestic violence cases or perhaps the DIFAS or the DCP&P cases under the FN. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, our judges are so overworked, because not only do they have to be familiar with the law in all of these areas, many of them, you know, these are very serious cases. Termination of parental rights, of course, comes under the FN docket. But in this case, there were two cases. There was an FN abuse and neglect docket and an FD non-dissolution docket. So the appellate court in this case dismissed the FD grandparent visitation complaint and directed that the court hear that in conjunction with the ongoing neglect matter and under the FN, so that one judge would hear both cases. And the appellate division also directed reconsideration of the judge's order under the FN docket, banning contact between the grandfather and the children in light of the preference expressed by the mother, who has legal custody of three of the four children. So in that case, there's going to be a lot of law and lots of things of interest to family law attorneys like myself. But this shows the complications sometimes when there are cases under more than one docket. For example, I had have an ongoing complicated case that is both an FN and an FD. So, it's an FV case, which is another docket, and the FV calendar has to do with domestic violence. So I have this case where there is a domestic violence complaint under the FV docket, and there was also a child support issue under the FD docket. And they were, again, that's pretty usual that the trial court judge would, in fact, consolidate the cases, and the judge consolidated the cases under the FV docket. And I represent a man who was the defendant under the support case, but he was the plaintiff and has a final restraining order under the FV case. So it gets a little complicated when you see these docket numbers. You know, the best thing to do to figure out is to just call an attorney and ask, and they'll tell you what in the world you're dealing with. So that is a case where the grandparents who were seeking visitation, they're going to be in the same case, and it makes sense. I mean, it really makes sense. One of the reasons that they decided that they would have the family part all those years ago, back in the late 70s, this was an issue when I was a young lawyer, and that was an issue. They wanted all of the cases, actually, they wanted all the cases heard by one judge. Well, one family, one judge sounds good, but it's never going to happen except in the smallest counties. And the other thing that they did, and the reason I think they did it, they put the juvenile cases with the family part rather than with the criminal part. And frankly, I didn't agree with it then, and I still don't. I think these cases are better dealt with in the criminal system by the judges who are dealing with criminal cases. All kinds of different things, different, not only different outcomes, but, you know, the family law judges are usually not as aware of, for example, facilities in the community, alternative ways of handling these things. I mean, they bring themselves up to speed, but it's so different than any of the other cases that they have to handle. Well, so that there were some interesting cases, actually, that were not approved for publication, or maybe not interesting, but certainly there was a case that would deal with for a lot of people, and this was a defendant appealed the trial court order that denied her request to vacate a warrant of removal in an eviction action brought by her landlord. And the parties had previously entered into a stipulation in the eviction action in which the defendant agreed to pay rent she admitted was due and owing, and further agreed to the entry of a judgment of possession, i.e. that means that she would give the landlord, you know, possession of the apartment. And then finally, the stipulation allowed the landlord to serve a warrant of removal if the tenant failed to make the payments required by the stipulation, which would have evicted the defendant, obviously. And so what happened is the defendant failed to meet the stipulation's initial deadline, but then she filed an order to show cause to stay the eviction and the warrant of removal, and she paid a portion of it into court. She repeatedly failed to make the payments, the rent payments on time, and that resulted in her eviction in 2015. And then on appeal, she argued that she should not have been evicted based on the stipulation once she paid the money into court. And she's saying that once she paid the money into court, and it may have been the full amount, by the way, then the matter should have been dismissed. And she further argued that since the landlord failed to move her into another unit pursuant to the terms of the stipulation, a warrant of removal should not have been granted. Now, the trial court rejected the defendant's arguments, noting that the stipulation required a warrant of removal. The stipulation required the defendant to be current on rent, and holding that because the defendant was consistently late on rent, the warrant of removal could have been issued under the terms of the stipulation. And then finally, the court further held that the tenant's execution of a new lease did not constitute waiver of the stipulation, since a move to a new apartment was expressly contemplated by the stipulation. So in that case, what it does show is how difficult it can be to remove tenants. There was another a medical malpractice case, not published, so again, it can't be used for precedent. But in this case, the plaintiff appealed a summary judgment granted to an anesthesiologist and the order directing her attorney to pay the defense expert's witness cancellation fee. Now, in this case, the plaintiff alleged medical malpractice based on failed spinal surgery. And the anesthesiologist, who was named in an amended complaint, argued that the statute of limitations he argued the statute of limitations, and the court found that the claims were barred as to the plaintiff because the anesthesiologist was not identified in the hospital records, and plaintiff did not use due diligence in attempting to learn her identity. I'm sorry, the anesthesiologist was a woman. So, but the court held that the plaintiff did not exercise due diligence in attempting to learn the identity of the anesthesiologist before the limitations period expired. So this, frankly, is bad lawyering because it should not have been that difficult to learn the name of the anesthesiologist who was there during the surgery. So the court granted the surgeon's motion for summary judgment based on the plaintiff's failure to serve what we call an affidavit of merit. And then the surgeon sought to recover his expert witness fees, and the court ordered to pay the expert the loss of income from the trial adjournment that was due to the plaintiff's counsel's trial schedule. And then the court reversed payment of fees to the expert witness because the plaintiff's counsel's late adjournment request was not without just excuse. So that's what the appellate division did. And then the court found the trial judge's, the fact that he granted summary judgment was correct. So in this case, the big issue, obviously, for the plaintiff would have been the anesthesiologist's culpability. And so really, the although the anesthesiologist had to pay his expert's fees, did not have to stand trial. So this would really, in my opinion, be a win for the anesthesiologist. And also, what is probably going to result from that is a legal malpractice case against the attorney, because why in the world would not, why wouldn't the attorney have done what was necessary to identify the anesthesiologist? I mean, that seems to be, you know, pretty routine in medical malpractice cases. Well, anyway, that's my opinion, and but it probably was just an oversight that possibly caused the plaintiff, a loss of significant damages. Well, we're going to take a short break, talk about what is happening with some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back with It's the Law.
Ready to start your child's entrepreneurial adventure? Join us for this exclusive entrepreneurial learning event featuring the award-winning game Launch, limited to just 40 kids in the 4th through 8th grade. Friday, May 12th from 6 to 9 at the Deer Path YMCA, Woods Church Road in Flemington. Register online at 100inchamber.org.
3, 2, 1.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey.
Come join us for the 4th annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park, and Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Hunterdon County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank, the 4th annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Chosen Freeholders of Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike's and Subs. For all the great details and information, visit HunterdonChamber.org or give us a call at 908-782-7115.
Hey, we're back. It's the law. And I hope you listened to that last note from Chris Phelan, our president of the chamber, because that one is not only is it going to be a fun day for the kids, but any of you who, like me, have lots of documents that you want to shred, they are going to have, as he announced, a shredding event. They called it a shred event. Well, what it is you can take all of the papers, documents. I don't think they require a box, but either put them in box or I think plastic bags, and SureShred, great people, will be there with their truck to shred the documents. And apparently there is no charge, which is great, and apparently they're not limiting the amount, although we all need to be respectful of that. This is something that I always do, shredding. I mean, any attorney, anyone who has any documents that could contain personal information, and frankly, all of us as homeowners, we get things that we need to shred, and I think that we forget about it. And if you have just a small amount, you may have a personal shredder, and that's fine, but I certainly always take advantage and hopefully can take advantage of the free shredding events, and that's what this is. And I'm not sure, but they probably will also give you just a certificate saying that things were shredded if that's what you need for your profession. So this is one of the, you know, neat things that are done in Hunterdon County. I know the various townships also will have shredding events, but this one is open apparently to any Hunterdon County resident, probably anybody who goes to the fair that day. It will be at the fairgrounds at right off of Route 202 and 570, right on 579. So good note, you know, to save yourself some money and get rid of a lot of documents that you probably don't need to keep any longer. So back to what's happening in the legal news. Well, there's been speculation that Governor Christie might get that top FBI post. He's certainly been mentioned as a potential replacement for FBI Director James Comey. I have not followed the news today, but as of yesterday, have not heard that he's being nominated. And frankly, most New Jersey lawyers and political observers say that his chance of getting the job appears to be rather slim. I'm sure that what Christie really would like to do is be the Attorney General. And as people know, he was the federal prosecutor here in New Jersey before he was a governor. But that, unless something was announced this afternoon, I don't believe that there's been a new nominee for that post of FBI director, which, whatever your politics are, it certainly was a surprise that Trump fired Comey. And the reason for the surprise is it's a 10-year appointment. And I think this may be unprecedented. And the reason for the 10-year appointment was to shield the FBI director from politics. And that's frankly one of the reasons, and I think one of the best reasons in New Jersey, that we have judges who are appointed. And not only are they appointed, but they're appointed for 7 years. So at least during a governor's term, the governor would not have the right to fire a judge, unless, of course, it was, and it would not be the governor firing him, but certainly judges, like anyone else, can be brought up in charges, and the judicial committee that oversees judges and ethics, et cetera, is very conscious and does a great job. But the point is, a governor just can't have a whim and fire a judge. And that's the standard rule with the FBI director, unless the FBI director has done something. I'm not even sure what it would be, but obviously there would be some reasons, and then I'm not sure what the process ordinarily should be. But in our case, with the latest president, he decided to fire Comey, so now there's a lot of speculation as to who's going to be taking his place. The New Jersey Supreme Court has also, and this is a little esoteric, but they've agreed to hear the appeal of a medical malpractice plaintiff whose bid for a hospital's self-critical analysis of her care was rejected. So in other words, hospitals do internally keep records, and you know, so they can improve the care of patients, and of course the hospital would not want to release that information in a malpractice suit, and of course a plaintiff would really want to get that information. So now prosecutors, there's you know, this bail reform, if I've talked about it a little bit, and it's been very significant, the statute in New Jersey. So we have a bail reform ruling in the first case, and what the holding was is that prosecutors must hand over, and I'm quoting, statements and reports, end quote, but not police body camera, dashboard camera, or 9-1-1 recordings at detention hearings under New Jersey's fledgingly bail reform system. So that was the state Supreme Court said that in its first decision on the new system. So that's what they do have to do, and that's what they don't have to do. So there's, it didn't take long, of course, for the Senate committee hearings meant to provide insight into how three Justice Department nominees might run their respective divisions or handle conflicts of interest to shift to the sudden firing of the FBI, James Comey, and on Wednesday. So if you're a political junkie, boy, you have a lot of stuff to follow these days. And so there's, as I said, there are a few cases that were decided in family law that although they're not for publication, some of them are rather interesting. And one of the things that's important in the family law area, and the reason I say this is not to solicit business for myself, but really to let people know that when they're looking for someone to handle family matters, they really need to look for an attorney who is certified by the Supreme Court as a matrimonial attorney. Now, of course, if it deals with a juvenile and juvenile delinquency, my advice would be to contact a criminal lawyer, because I really think that they're better apt to handle juvenile matters, and especially if there's a question of whether or not the juvenile might be tried as an adult. So we're, as I said, there are always cases with DCPMP that are very specific, but these are very significant cases because of the fact that children are taken from their parents and parental rights can be terminated. And so that is one of the things that is a real concern. And parents' rights are certainly protected, but there's also a question of protecting children's rights. And my co-guy for the sports guys just came in. So let me go through a couple more spots from our sponsors, and then I'm going to ask him, I'm putting him on the spot, Bill, I'm going to put you on the spot as soon as I came back, to see if there's anything interesting in the bankruptcy area that you'd like to share with our listeners. So we'll be back in just a minute. Please listen and please support our sponsors.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, we're back, and we'll take 1 minute to ask Bill. He's not my guest today, but Bill, as you know, is one of our sports guys, and I'm always interested in what may be happening in either bankruptcy or some of the areas that you handle, Bill.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and we have some interesting work come out of the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals a couple of days ago. On May 4th, they came down with an appeal in a case, Thomas Giacci versus United States government, United States of America, and my least favorite government agency, the Internal Revenue Service. The IRS and Mr. Giacci went around and around all about his late filed tax returns and whether or not they could be dischargeable in bankruptcy. Our Third Circuit has never ruled on this, so this is a case that we lawyers like to call a case of first impression in our circuit. And they decided that they would take the Beard approach. In order for a tax return to be considered legitimate and capable of being discharged in bankruptcy, could it be late? Is there a problem if it's one day late? Or is it a problem if you don't file a return, 3 years goes by, don't file your return, the IRS decides that they're going to assess the tax instead and make an educated guess as to what you might owe. So what happened with Mr. Giacci just was a little bit too uptight to file his returns. He didn't file returns for personal income tax for 2000, 2001, or 2002. And then he filed a bankruptcy in 2013. In 2013, he wanted to discharge his tax liability for years 2000, 2001, and 2002. The bankruptcy court and the district court said they're not entitled to discharge those because he didn't file them on time. The IRS...
Well, let me ask you, Bill. Did he file them at some point?
He did, but unfortunately, he waited for the IRS to investigate and assess a tax liability against him. The IRS essentially filed something called a substitute for return, which eventually they get to if you haven't filed for 2 or 3 years.
So what you're saying, actually, is he did not file. Because one of the things that I've always said to people is file your return even if you don't have the money to pay what you owe, because at least then you filed it on time, and yes, there's going to be interest, but it'll be significantly less of a problem than if they end up coming after you.
That's exactly right, Pat. Now, our circuit decided that they would follow a number of other circuits called U.S. Circuit Courts of Appeal that generally have 3 or 4 states in them, and they decided to follow a case called Beard versus Commissioner of Internal Revenue, which was decided in the Sixth Circuit, which is right around Chicago. What did they say? They said that in order to file a return and have it be considered a return, you've got to file something that says it's a tax return. It has to be executed under penalty of perjury, meaning you have to swear it's true. It has to have enough data in there to let the IRS figure out whether you calculated your taxes properly or not. And it must represent an honest and reasonable attempt to satisfy the requirements of the tax law. The only issue that they had in this case, the IRS claimed, was that whether Mr. Giacci's IRS forms 1040 represented an honest and reasonable effort to comply with the tax law. Now, what the Third Circuit said was interesting. Forms filed after their due date and after an IRS assessment, two important facts, rarely, if ever, qualify as an honest or reasonable attempt to satisfy the tax law. And this is because the purpose of a tax return is for the taxpayer to tell the government how much tax is due, not to pay it, but to tell them how much it's due.
So that's my point when I say to people, you know, at least file your tax return. Now, obviously, there's going to be some red flag if you don't pay the taxes due, but it would be much better and is much better to file the returns than to not file the returns, because the last thing you want is the IRS coming after you. If they come back and say, well, you haven't paid your taxes, you're going to have some time to, you know, do this and file it. You know what? I think, Bill, do we have our person on the phone? Because if we do have, we'll...
We do have our guest here, but we're going to...
Well, that's fine. We can just go ahead. We'll skip the news. We have a guest today. And let me have Bill introduce the guest while I try to have her put on the phone. Yep. So what we're going to do is she's going to call in on the phone. I'm going to hopefully not mess it up. And in the meantime, let's have Bill introduce our guest. Bill?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bill Wolfson, and welcome to the Sports Guy. We've got a very interesting guest for you today. We're going to have her call in a moment. Her name is Maria Katsimatis. She is a very interesting personality, and I'm excited to have her on. As you know, we are a sports program, and we're very big on the participatory sports. Do we have her on yet, Pat? Let's find out whether she can pull out the phone.
Let's listen to the headphones, and we need to hear the headphones to see if she's on. Let's see what happened. Hi, is our guest on?
I don't know if she's on yet.
Good, she is.
Okay, can you crank up my headphones for me? Because I can't seem to hear her very well.
I think you're going to have to do that.
Put her on speaker, because I can't hear her.
I think you still have to use headphones. Maria, are you on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Maria, if you can keep your voice up, I would appreciate it. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.